All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Genesis 2. Moving right along. Yes, sir. Moving right along. Yes, indeed. All right, let's look at a couple of verses from this chapter tonight. Let's begin in verse 7. Verse 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." Now, there are several things in that verse that I'm just going to call to your attention. The word living is the Hebrew word that means eternal. It's ever living, if you will. All right, so that's what I have said to you many, many, many times, that each and every one of us is a soul. Man became a living, forever, eternal soul. And you are a soul. You don't have a soul. You are a soul, breathed to life by the breath of God. All right? And so you are a living soul. Now, you will also notice here that it says that that word living soul, that has another connotation. It has the idea that because of God breathing into him through his nostrils, into his lungs, and because that breath brought life, that then enabled Adam, and thus man, to fellowship with God. All right, now we're the only ones that God created that have that ability. All right, the Fluffy does not have that ability. All right, and little Fido, you know, they don't have that ability. But man does. And that's what makes us different from the animals, the fact that we are a living soul. Okay? So keep that in mind. It was the Lord God who formed man from the dust of the ground. Let me say it this way. He made man from dirt. All right? You remember the psalmist said, "God remembereth our frame. He knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are what? Dust." Yep. So when you die, you know, we can't set you up in the corner for old time's sake. You know, we have to bury you. And the reason that we do is because by very nature of what we are, made from dust, once the life is gone out of us, we're going to go back to the dust. And that's why the preacher says at the cemetery, "Now it is my solemn duty to commit this body back to the ground from whence it came, ashes to ashes, dust to dust." All right, but why? Because we came from the dust. And unless the Lord comes back and raptures us home, then we are going to go back to the dust one of these days. Now, I'm not in any hurry to get there, but that's nonetheless going to happen to us all. All right, so that's man, that's Adam. Now, look down, please, at verse 21. Verse 21. And now we're going to read the account of God creating the woman. All right, so who was born first? All right, the man. Yes, he was. God made man first. Now, you say, why? Well, personally, I think it was to give him time to think of the answer to the first question that she was going to ask him. That's what I think. But anyway, that's just me. But let's see what God says about the woman. Now, notice the difference here. There's going to be a huge difference. And I want you to focus on that tonight. By the way, I'm going to entitle our study tonight, Christ and Adam's Rib. Christ and Adam's Rib. All right, we're looking at pictures of Christ in the book of Genesis. All right, so Christ and Adam's Rib. Now look at verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God, and notice, exact same person created Eve as created Adam. All right, look back at verse 7 again. Same person. Jehovah, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah God. And in verse 22, which the Lord God, and verse 21, and the Lord God, all right, so same person. So the Lord God took the rib from man, and look at this, made he, God, a woman. So the Lord took a rib and made a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and the woman, and were not ashamed. Now, why weren't they ashamed? Well, they hadn't fallen into sin yet. All right, they hadn't become sinners yet. All right, so keep your Bible open right here, and let's pray, and then we'll look at Christ, the pictures of Christ, and in Adam's rib. Let's pray together first. Father in heaven, thank you now for this passage. I pray that you will bless us this evening. I pray the Holy Spirit of God will be the teacher tonight. And Father, I want you to help me as I speak. And I ask you also, Father, to help our folks as they listen. And may the Word of God encourage us. And Father, may it bless our hearts this evening as we see the Lord Jesus Christ all the way back in the creation of man and the woman. So Father, bless now what I'm about to say. In Christ's name we ask it, amen. All right, we are looking at pictures of the Lord Jesus, which are seen in the Old Testament scriptures, and specifically in the book of Genesis. Now, someone has very wisely said that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Now think about that for just a moment. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. That's what we're studying. I'm pointing out to you the Christ of the New Testament, the Jesus who gave us redemption. All right, we're going back and looking at Christ concealed in the Old Testament. We're looking at the various pictures of Christ. Now, both of the testaments, both covenants, there's an old covenant and a new covenant, an Old Testament and a New Testament. They go together in so many wonderful ways to reveal to us a complete revelation of God's plan for the redemption of mankind. Now, last week I used the illustration of a little toy that we all had when we were children. And what was it called again?
Viewmaster.
A Viewmaster. All right. I couldn't remember what it was called and still can't. But mine was red. Did anybody else have one besides me? All right. All of you did. Was yours red too? All right. And then it had a little thing here, and you pushed down, and that made the little disc rotate, and you got to sit and look at some 4K definition pictures. You know, it was awesome, wasn't it? Don't you remember when the first time you did it, and you were just in awe? I mean, it looked like a little tiny pair of red binoculars. And you held it up to the light, put that little disc in it, and pushed a button, and you had a picture on this side, and they came together, and you saw in this eye and this eye, but they blended together, and you saw something just fascinating, just absolutely amazing. I remember that mine had pictures of the Grand Canyon in it, and the pyramids at Giza. That was one reason why I was so excited the first time I went to Cairo, because I got to see that which I had viewed on my Viewmaster so many years ago. And man, was it exciting. All right, so instantly those two little pictures become one, and I don't know how you felt about it, but I was greatly intrigued by that little toy. Now, my point is that one can easily look in or at the Old Testament and read the stories that God inspired and gave us about creation and everything else, but especially for our purposes here, creation, the first several chapters of the book of Genesis. And we can look at the Old Testament and see the stories, but then as we continue through the Bible, we eventually get over into the New Testament, into the New Covenant. And when we do, we are able then to have the two frames come together on the Viewmaster. And we are able to read and understand the New Testament, and the New Testament points out to us Jesus and often takes us all the way back into the Old Testament and shows us that the Lord Jesus was standing there right in the middle of whatever story was being told. Now, I told you that you can find Jesus on practically every page, if not every page, in every chapter of the Word of God. If you're looking for him, you can see him. Now, here's the neat thing. When you're sitting here just reading the Old Testament, you might read the story like we did last week of Genesis 1:1, and you might say, well, how do you see Jesus in that? Well, you might have to wait until you get all the way over into the New Testament before the picture becomes clear to you. See, you might have to get all the way over into John chapter 1. Remember that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. God created the heaven and the earth, we're told in Genesis 1:1, but then we're told in John 1:1-3, that the Word created everything. And who's the Word? The Lord Jesus. So there's the Lord Jesus standing right there in the middle of verse 1, the first verse of the Bible, and right there, shining for everyone to see, is the main character, the central figure, the focus of the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last week, I gave you several examples about how to spot the Lord Jesus. Even all the way back in the beginning of the creation of the heaven and earth. And I showed you how the Lord Jesus is seen in the very first chapter, in the very first book of the Bible, in the very first verse of that chapter as well. Now, let me show you another wonderful example of how the Lord Jesus can be seen right in the beginning of the Scriptures. All right? Don't forget now, God created man in His own image. Look at chapter 1 and look at verse 26. It says in 1:26, "And God said, let us make man in our image." Let us, that's plural, make man in our, that's plural, image. All right, after, what's the next word? Our, that's plural. All right, so now who is the us and who is the our? Well, that's a conversation between the Godhead right there. That's the conversation between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, you remember, you get over into the New Testament, and again, John is going to tell us that that there are three that bear witness, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and these three are one. All right, so let us make man in our image. Verse 27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. So right off in the first chapter, we are told that God created man in His own image. Now, folks, this chapter 1, verse 26, is such a powerful verse that tells us where we came from. God created us. That's where we came from, folks. All right, notice He created us in His own image. And notice the Bible does not say that God is made in our image, Pope. Huh? But we are made in God's image. Okay, so God is not made in our image. We are made in His. Now think of this, folks. We learned last week that Adam is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you would not know that until you get over into the New Testament and had all of that explained to you. You say, well, Pastor, where is that? All right, hold your place here and go over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'll show you what Paul says about all of this. I want you to notice, of course, Paul was inspired of the Holy Spirit, but Paul understood that Jesus was all over the Old Testament. He was hiding in the shadows, stamped all over the Old Testament scriptures. And I'm going to show you how I know that he knew Christ was there. All right, look at 1 Corinthians 15. And let's begin at verse 45. All right, look at verse 45. The Bible here says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam," does anybody have a problem with that? Oh, he was the first man, right? Okay, so the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. That's what verse 20, or that's what 220, or not 220, the 2:7 says, is it not? That man became a living soul when God breathed into him. So the last Adam, now I wonder who the last Adam is. That's Jesus. All right, that's Jesus. And so he says that the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. But and afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. All right? So there you go. You have Paul taking the Old Testament explanation of the creation of man and explaining to us that Adam was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Adam was the federal head of the human race, the Lord Jesus, the second man, the second Adam, was the head, or is the head, of a redeemed race. All right, you see that? So Adam, human race, the Lord Jesus, the spiritual head of the redeemed race. And so again, we have the Old Testament telling us how man came into being, not from evolution, not from apes, not from some big bang that happened millions and millions and millions of years ago, but created by God Almighty. Amen. God made man. Amen. And then God redeemed man through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when man sinned. So there's Jesus. When you see Adam, there is a picture right there of the Lord Jesus. Now, many others in the Old Testament scriptures are pictures of the Lord Jesus. You got Abel, you've got Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, Solomon. I mean, the list is endless. But let me show you something tonight that right along this same line that I hope will encourage your heart. All right, look at Genesis 2 once again, and notice here the creation of the woman, the creation of Eve. Don't forget how God created man. In 2:7, we notice that he scooped up some dirt and he created man, breathed into man the breath of life, and man became an eternal soul, a living soul. Now, folks, I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but if Adam had not sinned in the Garden of Eden, he'd still be picking peas in the garden. right? He'd still be alive. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the wages of sin is, that's why we die. Sin. And you see these folks who take sin to the extreme, and many of them die early. I mean, they don't even make it, some of them, through their 20s. And they're gone. The wages of sin is death. You can help that along by the way you live if you're not careful. All right, but notice here that God did something completely different when he created the woman. Now, you remember how God gave Adam some anesthesia, and then while he was asleep, the Lord performed surgery on him, and he cut him open, and he took a rib out of his rib cage, and then God closed up his wound. Now, folks, think about it. If you're going to get a rib out of somebody, you got to cut them. Right? Now, if you cut a human being, what happens? He bleeds. Yes. All right, so keep that all up here, all right? So he bleeds. But God closed up the wound. Now, while Adam was asleep, God created from his wounded side a woman. Now, I'm going to let you just think about that for a minute. While he was asleep, now, where did he get that rib? From his side. Not from his head, so he could lord over her, and not from his feet, so he could stomp all over her, and not from his arm, so he could push her around, not from his fist, so he could make her stay in line forcibly, but no, from the side, so that she would be by his side, a helpmeet. Okay? And so the woman was made for a purpose. She was made to be Adam's wife. And notice that she was a part of him. All right, let that sink into you. She was a part of him. That's why God took the rib out of him, to make her, and so she was a part of him. Nod your heads. You see that? All right, now stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Now notice what Adam said when he woke up from his sleep. Now look at verse 23 and 24. 23 and 24. This is what he said when he woke up. Now watch. Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." All right, in Hebrew, the man is called Ish. The man is called Ish, and the woman is called Isha. All right, Ish and Isha. That's man and woman. And so the name even is taken out of the name. All right, Ish, the man, Isha, the woman. So the name is even taken out of the name. Everything is symbolic. Everything means something. That's the amazing thing about the Hebrew language. All right, so here's what he said in verse 23 and 24. "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because She was taken out of man. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, let's take this Old Testament passage right here, and let's put that in the viewfinder. All right, we're going to put it in our viewmaster, and we're going to push the button down. But wait a minute, we got to get its companion picture. So take your Bible, please, and go over to the book of Ephesians for just a moment. Ephesians chapter 5. All right, so here's Paul now, and he is talking about husbands and wives, and he is saying some glorious things about the two, and so let's just read what he says here, and let's begin in verse 25. Paul says, "Husbands, love your wives." Now, that doesn't mean you can have a bunch of them, all right, but he's speaking generically. Husband, love your wife. And all you husbands, you love your wives. All you husbands, love your wives. All right? So, husbands, love your wives. Even, watch this now. Now, did you see anything back here about Jesus? Was there anything back here in Genesis 2 about Jesus? Was there? You didn't see anything, did you? You didn't hear anything, did you? No, but look now, Paul in the New Testament. Now we got our viewfinder. Let's push the button down, and what do we see? Well, Paul says, "Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it unto himself." Notice that. Unto himself. A glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now watch carefully. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother. Does that ring a bell with anybody? I wonder where old Paul got that little tidbit of information. Huh? Oh, he got it back in Genesis chapter 2. Because that's what God said to Adam. And then Adam passed it on to his children, and his children to his children, and finally it ended up with old Noah. And then Noah got on the ark, and God preserved him and his family, and he taught it to his kids. And then Moses wrote it down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and told us all about it. And now here's Paul all these years later saying, "Listen, I know you guys saw all that back in Genesis 2, but let me show you Jesus in all of that." And here's the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 32. It says, "This is a great mystery." What is? Well, for this cause, verse 31, "Shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be" what? "One flesh." And then Paul says, that's Genesis 2. But let me show you that Jesus was back there. Let me show you that the Lord Jesus was standing there in the shadows and that God knew exactly what he was doing when he did all of this. You say, how so? Well, verse 32, this is a great mystery. Yeah, what is it? Paul said, I speak concerning who? Jesus Christ and his church. So the first Adam is a picture of Christ, who is the second man, the second Adam, if you will. The first Adam was the head of a federal race, second Adam, head of the redeemed race. By the way, how did he make redemption possible? By the shedding of his blood. Exactly right. All right? So he said, what Adam told you in Genesis 2, after God created Eve and brought her to him, well, that's 100% correct. And now I want to show you how the Lord Jesus was right smack in the middle of that whole thing. The creation of man and the creation of woman. It was all by design. Folks, it did not just accidentally happen. It was all by design. God did it. And he knew exactly what he was doing. And so Paul says in verse 32, this is a great mystery. But here it is. I speak concerning Christ and the church. So folks, can you see it? I mean, Adam is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a picture. And Jesus, you'll remember, left his father's house to gain his bride at the price of his own life. Jesus, the last Adam, must be put to sleep to purchase his bride, the church. And Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, and then, in biblical language, he slept in the tomb for 3 days and for 3 nights. And folks, don't forget, when he was hanging on that cross and he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, it is finished. And then he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost and died. The soldiers came along and they had to get him off the cross and in the grave before 6 o'clock. And so they said, well, we got to break their legs. And so they came to the other two, and they weren't dead yet, so they broke their legs so that they could not hold themselves up, and they fell forward and suffocated. But when they got to Jesus, he was already dead. But to make sure, one of the soldiers took a spear and went between his ribs and pierced into his side, into his heart. And what came out? Water, the Word of God, and blood, the redeeming blood. You see it? The redeeming blood. His side was, watch this now, his side was opened up after he had fallen asleep in death. His side was opened up just like Adam back here. Adam was put to sleep and then his side was opened up and God took the rib. And Jesus died and was on the cross, and from that wounded side, our redemption flowed. And I believe that in the creation of Eve, when God cut Adam open, Adam gave He bled his literal blood for her. I mean, he gave of himself for her. And God opened his side, and this, of course, implies a wound and the shedding of some blood. So think about it, folks. Right here at the beginning, at the very dawn of creation, even before man sinned and had become a sinner, we have an implied reference to a new creature taken from the side of man and becoming a part of him, even of his flesh and bones. Are y'all getting this? I mean, I'm about to have spell up here, and y'all just sitting there looking at me like you have no clue what I'm talking about. Don't you see the picture here? Well, somebody say amen or something. Mercy, don't just sit there like knots on a log. Go back to Ephesians again. Let's take it just one more step. How are we doing? Oh, man. All right, Ephesians 5 again. Let me just take it one more step, all right? We're told by Paul that the church is his body, right? That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 5. We are told that the church is his body. Now, I want you to think about this. Jesus, the last Adam, like Adam the first, had to be put to sleep to purchase his bride. All right? He had to be put to sleep to purchase his bride, the church. You see it? That's neat, isn't it? Jesus had to die on the cross, and when he died, you remember those soldiers came, and to make sure he was dead, they pierced his side, and from his wounded side, there came out the cleansing water, all right, water, a picture of the Word of God, and then the justifying blood. Now, Paul says in verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You see, the church, just like Eve, was a new creation. All right? She came into the world a different way, not by natural birth, all right? Not by natural birth, but by a supernatural operation at the hand of God Almighty. Amen. And God took a rib and with it built a helpmeet for Adam, a helpmeet and a wife for Adam. Now, back in, hold your place here, but go back to Genesis again. I'm sorry to bounce you around, but you got to see this. All right, in chapter 2, and then in the verse 22, it says, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made." See that word? Made. Now, if you have a Cambridge Bible, you have in the center column a little footnote. It's the number 14. And the King James translators are who put these things in here to help us study the Bible. And in the word made in the center column, the word here, it says Hebrew, builded. Builded. Now look at it that way. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, builded he a woman. And the woman is a picture of the church. And do you remember the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." All right, so there's the Lord Jesus standing right there in the middle of this whole thing. But you're not going to see that until you get over into the New Testament and you read what the Apostle Paul has to say. And he said, here's the mystery. None of you guys back here saw this. None of you back here that lived back here, none of you saw this until Jesus died on Calvary's cross. And when he died on that cross, he made it all clear what God's plan was. Jesus died for his church. Isn't that awesome? I'm telling you, folks, right there it is. All right, he builded. I like that. He builded. Does that not imply it took a little time? Anybody ever build a house? You don't go out there and just build it in one day. You ever built a car? You don't just go out there and build it in one day. It takes time. And I'm sure God took some time to make Eve. I mean, he had no choice. It was his handiwork, so he had to make her perfect. He had to make her perfect. Now, there's two things that are implied, that are indicated by that. First, there was an operation. And God took one of Adam's ribs, closed up the flesh where he took it from, and then second thing that's indicated is once he made her, he brought her unto the man. Now, go back to Genesis 2. Have y'all noticed every Wednesday night that happens? Yes. Do you hear that? Every Wednesday night. Say, Pastor, do you notice everything? Yes. That's what's driving me crazy about life. I notice everything. I hear the planes go over. I hear the ambulances out there. I hear the Jake brakes coming down the hill. I hear the motorcycles, the birds. Where are they tonight, by the way? Have y'all heard them? They're asleep. See, my preaching's good for something. All right, hurry. We're out of time. Look at verse 21, all right? Notice, what do we learn in verse 21? Here's what we learn. God took his ribs and then closed up the flesh instead thereof. He took his rib out, didn't put it back. He took it out and he used it to make the woman. When he took it out, he closed Adam up, all right? Then look at the second statement at the end of verse 22. It says in verse 22, God brought her unto the man. But then notice in between those two statements is the record. And the record is this, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man builded he a woman. Now, I don't want you to miss this. When the building of the woman was complete, God brought, watch this now, God brought the man, Adam, and he brought the rib, Eve, back together again. And that's why Adam said, she is bone of my bone, and she is flesh of my flesh. Isn't that cool? Amen. And folks, think about what that relationship now entails for you and for me. We are his. Can you imagine when we get to heaven and we have the marriage of the Lamb to the church, to the bride? Oh my. No wonder they're shouting and rejoicing and Everybody carrying on up there. Amen. Our redemption is finally complete. That's so neat, isn't it? And let me tell you something, folks. God has been building this precious bride of His, purchased by His blood for the last 2,000 years, and soon this bride will be presented to her Lord. And there you will see Paul, or there you can see Paul shining the light of the New Testament on this Old Testament event that happened way, way back, even before Adam and Eve sinned against God. How many times have I stood behind this pulpit and told you, hey, folks, God has a plan? And I'm telling you, that plan is awesome, isn't it? And there is nothing going to thwart that plan. And Paul takes this account of God building the woman, and he says in the New Testament, I'm going to show you Jesus right in the middle of all of this. And I'm sure those old Jews, the ones that believed, they were sitting around going, wow, I would have never thought that in a million years. Amen. Folks, I say it again. The Holy Bible must have been inspired of God and not of men. I would not, if I could, conceive that God could do anything other than write this book. I just don't see how it's possible for man to put this plan together. It cannot be done. It could not be done. The most brilliant mind this world has ever known could not have put this together. So it shows us it's the hand of God. Oh, I hope your faith is increased tonight. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So once again, folks, you have the light of the New Testament shining its light all the way back on the Old Testament. And when it gets back there, there's Jesus standing right in the middle. Amen and amen. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for your word. Thank you for allowing us the privilege to open the Bible and look at these things. And Father, I pray you'll just grind this into our hearts and into our minds. We need to read the Bible and look for Jesus. We need to read the Old Testament and see our Savior standing in the shadows. We need to see Him. And so, Father, I pray that you will help us to see these beautiful pictures. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for the church. And Father, thank you for all that you have done for us. And I pray now that you will bless what's been said, and give us understanding, clear understanding of what we have heard. In Jesus' name we ask it.